Thank you for listening to the Fields Brothers Show.
Well, Roger, you enjoying this holiday weekend?
Holiday weekend?
Holiday weekend.
I didn't know it was a holiday. What holiday is this?
It's the Masters tournament. You didn't know that?
Oh, that's a golf thing.
Yeah,
isn't it? That golf?
It's the Masters tournament.
Yeah,
it's a holiday weekend.
So you take time off for this?
well, no, but you know,
oh boy,
not this year anyway.
So I guess you'd be like parked in front of the television set this weekend.
So there are well some of it, and
guess there'll be no household chores being accomplished this weekend.
And I may or may not have had it on my phone while I was at work the last couple of days as well. Anyway, well, welcome to the Fields Brothers Show podcast, where we talk about life on this side of the cross. My brother and I are recovering pastors. With no past of record of scandal. People hear you're a former pastor, they think, ooh, what happened?
You know, you say recovering. I kind of think I've recovered.
You've already recovered all the way?
I kind of think so, maybe, you know.
Maybe I have too. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe I might relapse every now and then into old pastoral thinking. I don't know. Well, anyway.
So anyway, we are glad that you have joined us. And Roger, I have been waiting for this podcast for a week now to tell you about what happened to me at Cracker Barrel.
Listen, the only thing that happens at Cracker Barrel is always good things, though. I just want to say.
Well, well, let me just tell you. It wasn't bad. I mean.
Okay, all right.
So anyway, Friday night last week, Teresa and I go to Cracker Barrel, just the two of us. Normal evening. We enjoy our meal, get ready to leave.
Would have thought you would have called me to join you, but that's okay.
Well, no, we didn't.
This is at my Cracker Barrel, right, too, the one by me?
So anyway, yeah, the one close to you.
All right.
And so you might want to have a heads up now after I tell you what happened to me when you go there the next time. So we're finished. We're ready to leave. And so we get up. And, of course, at Cracker Barrel, you don't pay at the table. You pay at the cash register there on your way out. So I go to pay. And Teresa, she's going to stop off the restroom, then go on out to the car. Excuse me. And then I told her, I said, well, I'll pay the bill, and then I'll go to the restroom, and I'll come out to the car
as well. We really don't need that much detail, Jeff.
It does factor into this a little bit. So so I pay the bill, then I go in the restroom. So I go into the men's restroom, and there's nobody in there, in the main area. But I do notice when I walk in, one of the doors on one of the stalls closes from the inside. I see a hand reach out and kind of close the stall from inside.
Yeah, the first one does that.
So, no big deal, so someone's in one of the stalls. I take care of what I came in there to do, and then I finish that, and I turn toward the sink to wash my hands, and the door of the stall opens back up just a little bit, and there's a young boy in there. I didn't get a good look at him. I'm guessing 7, 8, 9 years old or something like that. He opens the door about like 6 or 8 inches, raises a squirt gun at me, and squirts me with a squirt gun. And really? I've got water on my jacket now. And he laughs and closes the stall door on himself again. And I'm thinking,
well,
I didn't expect this. What do you do?
That's not something that happens every day.
I didn't wake up that morning thinking, okay, what am I going to do if some kid at Cracker Barrel bathroom squirts me with a squirt gun? So
you can kick the stall door open and drag him out of there?
No, I just kind of caught off guard, And afterwards, and what I did really ended up not doing anything, but what I was hoping, so I went in, washed my hands. I was hoping when I went out, I would find one or two parents standing outside the door, kind of waiting for him, and I was going to politely let them know what their Brad kid just did.
Almost killed your kid in the bathroom because he squirted into his
and so, but I came out, and there was nobody outside the bathroom door there in that little area outside the bathroom, and so I don't know, I have no idea where his legal guardian or parents are. And I didn't think, I don't want to go table to
maybe
table through Cracker Barrel.
Maybe his parole officer was close by.
I don't want to go table to table asking, okay, who has a kid in the bathroom? And so I just, and we're ready to go. Teresa's already out in the car. And so I just, I left.
Just sloshed out to the car.
So, and she noticed, she said, and I said, you won't believe what happened to me just now in the bathroom. She says, you got water in your jacket. Where'd that come from? And, I thought if I'd had it done over, I would have found an employee and just let them know what happened and let them decide what to do with it from there. Or the other idea, I'm sure they sell squirt guns in Cracker Barrel gift shop somewhere. Yeah. So I could have gone in, bought a squirt gun.
You should have gone loaded back down, it
up,
been great.
Loaded it up and gone back
kicked
in. And
that
just
door
unloaded
open and
it.
Let him have it. That's true. Or so, we'll get a super soaker and come back.
So I've got a title for this podcast. The title for this podcast is Jeff Gets Shot at Cracker Barrel. That'll be the title of this podcast. Okay. So I have no spiritual application whatsoever from that. But
if you had applied yourself, you could have come up with some spiritual application to this. I'm telling you, that's a great story.
Now I'm kind of paranoid. You know, every time I go in a public restroom now, you know, I may have to start carrying and concealing a squirt gun with me, you know, when I go to these places, so I'll be prepared to defend myself.
I'm going
to
tell them when I go back over there. They all know me over there. I'm going to tell them about my brother.
Yeah, tell them. Yeah, I have no idea how long he had been there before. You know, if he, I don't know if there were other victims besides me.
That day. Yeah, there may be other victims.
There could have been people, other guys before me. Who knows? But rather bizarre for sure.
Oh, boy. Well,
I've got several different things. Anything else you want to bring up quick before I get into some of these other things?
Oh, that's pretty funny. I heard a new term this week I hadn't heard. You know, when you go through McDonald's now, or a lot of fast foods, you have two lanes that kind of merge into one.
That's an interesting dynamic.
Did you know there's a word
behavior
for that? It's called a zipper merge. Did you know that?
Okay, I have heard that term.
I had never heard that.
Yeah.
Zipper merge. Yeah. It means you take turns, or you're messing up the zipper, I guess.
Right. Just like a zipper has the little notches from each side of the zipper.
Yeah. Well, I get the imagery, Jeff. Thank you for explaining this. I thought that was a great term, zipper merge. Okay.
That is a that whole concept of merging drive-through lanes is kind of a test of our culture, you know.
Yeah.
Can we do this in a civil way?
Oh, well, I always let people go in front of me. Yeah. But that's just kind of who I am, Jeff. You know,
okay.
I don't dominate the zipper merge at McDonald's. All right.
We had a message sent to us through Facebook Messenger, I guess, recently, and made us aware, because you and I have already talked a little bit about this, but I think it'd be worth bringing up. And a word that I had never heard before, you had never heard before, and someone wrote to us and said that they had struggled, I think was the term, with scrupulosity. Scrupulosity.
I think there's a new medicine for that. I've seen on television that with, you know, some few side effects, but you can get medicated for scrupulosity, I think.
Well, what it was, let me find it.
So you have no response to it. I just said, I think
medicine,
this is...
I'm not sure if you were serious or not with that. Was that a joke or...
Either way, it could elicit a comment, you know. I mean, it's an ailment. That's what I'm saying.
Well, it is a diagnosed condition.
Diagnosed, okay,
That evidently. So I'm going to read you the definition here.
Scrupulosity.
And people can Google this. Is what is scrupulosity? A form of obsessive compulsive disorder. So OCD, we're familiar with the term OCD.
Yeah.
A form of OCD involving religious or moral obsessions. Scrupulous individuals are overly concerned that something they thought or did might be a sin or other violation of religious or moral doctrine.
How have we not heard of this word before?
Really? That was my thought, too. I mean, because this is exactly
how far behind are we? Are we just now hearing this?
Because this is exactly what we talk about a lot and what we kind of feel we've been freed from. And I don't think it's, you know, I guess I would see it as everybody experiences this to some degree or another.
Yeah.
It's just how much. But that I was surprised that we had never, and we move in some circles that you would think would have mentioned this before.
You think.
But
so this podcast is kind of a scrupulosity medication. Think of this as scrupulosity healthcare program.
But there's a Facebook group that has recognized this podcast and kind of shares this podcast that folks that have defined experience with this.
That's my new favorite word.
But, you know, so a form of OCD involving religious or moral obsessions. But that really is, let's talk about that for a second. Okay, so what is that? It's just, and I think we both know what that is to some degree because we're both in it ourselves.
Absolutely.
To some extent, to where you're always worried about, am I going to do something wrong? Am I going to commit a sin? Or I'm doing this right thing, but am I doing it enough? Or am I doing it the right way? Or I'm going to do it the wrong way? Or things like that.
Absolutely. I mean, that is not only is that a great word, that really kind of captures just, you know, what people go through and in the way they think, you know, the way I used to think, you know. It's like, let me say it to you like this.
All right.
You know, if you talk to somebody and they do not believe that Jesus paid the full price, lock, stock, and barrel, 100% for your salvation. If they don't believe that, here is the next question for them.
All right.
All right. And here it is, because they can never answer this. How do you know then if you've done enough. Mm-hmm. If Jesus hasn't done everything and you have to do some things on your own, how do you ever know when you've done enough? There is no answer to that question because, you know, how do you know how much you're supposed to share your faith? How much are you supposed to pray? How much you're supposed to read your Bible? How much you're supposed to give? Even some people say even, you know, tithe or above tithing, which tithing is not New Covenant anyway, but how much do you have to serve? How close do you have to follow to Jesus? How much sin do you have to avoid? How much do you have to love God and people? How much? So you never know. So here's the point. If you don't believe Jesus paid the full price, then you do get kind of obsessed with that gap, filling in the gap between what Jesus did and what you think your Father God requires. And so scrupulosity, I think, is what kicks in a lot of people, an OCD mentality that I can't, you know, how do you know when you've done enough to fill in the gap? And you'll never, here's my point, you'll never have, if that's your thinking, that you got to fill in the gap, you'll never find peace or joy in that life, in that framework, in that mindset, I should say, because you'll never know.
Because if we're looking at what we do as the gauge, if we look at what we do as the foundation of whether or not we're right with God and in good standing, we'll never know, like you said. And so I think that's where that mindset comes from. But when we realize it doesn't, my relationship with God, both from an eternal standpoint and just here day to day, does not depend on my performance. It depends entirely on the performance of Jesus Christ. And that is sure. That is complete. That is unquestioned. And so, our faith is in him, in what he did.
And if you don't believe that, it's always a moving target.
Yeah.
In other words,
moving the goalposts.
You move the goalposts. How much do you pray? Well, it depends on, you know, what Bible teacher you're listening to. There's a lot of mixed grace Bible teachers out there who are very willing to teach a little bit of grace and a whole lot of works, or even a lot of grace and a little bit of works. Either way, it doesn't work, you know. And the target always was, you never know, how much do I have to pray? How much should I read my Bible? You know, and it's that people have different answers to that, but there's no biblical answer to that because that's not a valid question.
And let's clarify, too, when we use the term mixed grace. So let's make sure people know what we're talking about when we say mixed grace preachers or pastors or whatever, that it's, you know, nobody's out there, hardly anybody's out there saying it's all by works. It's all based on what you do. Nobody's saying that.
Right.
So everybody, any normal, Bible-believing Christian teacher is going to say it's by grace through faith and all this. But then they also add other principles, other guidelines that are essentially law-based that indicate that it's a partial thing. You know, they may not say it that clearly, but it's really what's coming across.
Oh, yeah, totally. And it's we've got to fill in the gap. They just do not believe what Jesus did on the cross. Son of God shed his blood, died, resurrected 3 days later, came out of that tomb. They do not believe that is enough. And it's just, the more you think about it, the more ludicrous it is, you know, that you could not believe that's enough. You know, if you think your Bible reading program is what fills in the gap, your prayer life, your discipleship method, it just becomes crazier the more you think about it. But you end up getting obsessed with those things that you think have to fill in the gap. And you completely, if you believe even that Jesus paid for 99% of your salvation, 1% is left with you, you're going to get obsessed with that 1%. That's what gets your focus. That's what, when the OCD kicks in, the scrupulosity, got to make sure I'm doing my 1%. And it's like I mentioned in the last podcast, we end up approaching this as watching Evel Knievel. Is he going to make it or not? He takes off the ramp. We don't know. Did he, it's like in the spiritual world, the analogy would be, did he read his Bible enough? We don't know. He's either going to crash into the canyon or he'll make it.
Did you notice I corrected your misspelling of Evel's name?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's E-V-E-L. You had spelled his first name E-V-I-L. So.
Oh, I meant to say E-L because I knew that. I checked it out. Okay. But anyway, let me give you this too. See what you think of this. First of all, let me dovetail this into another scripture, okay? Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 4, twice it says that we're sealed until the day of redemption. Now, that's a pretty strong term to me.
We don't talk about that a lot.
No, we haven't talked about that a lot. We probably should talk about it more. It says, in him, when you heard the word of faith, the word of truth, the gospel, the good news of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. That's pretty clear to me.
And it's something that he has done, that has been done to us and for us.
Yes. And then it says that we do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Now, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
We're sealed. I have another point. I just noticed how that I might make it another podcast. But anyway, I have six big no's, okay? In Jesus, there is no condemnation. There's no separation. There's no snatching. Jesus said he couldn't snatch you. Mm-hmm. Nobody can snatch you out of my hand. There's no disappointment. Bible talks about that. There's no record of wrongs, and there's no remembrance of sin. Mm-hmm. God, I know there's probably more, but I just like that.
Yeah.
That's kind of a quick list. And there's none of it. There's zero, not just a little bit, none.
And so a lot of this, you know, comes
down
to...
And scripture's behind every one of those, even though I didn't bring them out. But go ahead.
Yeah, that'd be a post sometime you do on Facebook or something, the different no's and all that. But and it, you know, it boils down to trust. And so someone said, well, I'm afraid to do that because I'm afraid I'm just going to run wild. I'm afraid if I don't worry about my sin, then I'm just going to go crazy. Yep. And basically that's saying I cannot trust the presence of Christ. You know, all this boils down to that we have been united with Christ in our spirit. If you believed in Jesus Christ, you've received him into your life, you have been born again.
Right.
I mean, you haven't been spiritually born again. You have a new life. You have a new spiritual DNA. Yeah. And the good news is you can trust him to be your life. You can trust him, you know, the Philippians 2, for it's God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And so it's a matter of, am I going to trust myself to walk a fine line? Am I going to trust myself to do good, or am I going to trust the power of the Holy Spirit in me to produce his fruit in me? And then when we rest in that and we relax in that, that's when we see the work of God.
Okay, so here's the question then. Why is that so difficult for people? Why is that so difficult? Oh, yeah. I have a theory on this, okay? My theory is that because we get, you know, OCD about filling in the gap and all that, we get kind of addicted to the pressure that it's like we need that pressure that, boy, I got to make sure I'm doing. And when somebody comes on with a message that eliminates all the pressure, we kind of freak out like, whoa. I need that pressure to behave, you know, to be good. And so there's more faith in the pressure of the legalism or the pressure of the law than there is the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Because we don't trust the...
Yeah, we don't trust God. We don't think the Holy Spirit within us or us being in Christ is enough to, you know, whatever, get us through this life. We need the pressure of behavior.
It's like,
and we get addicted to that.
It's like that old line, I don't work well under pressure, but without pressure, I don't work at all.
Right, exactly.
I mean,
right.
That really does apply
in
the religious sense, that if I don't have pressure, if I don't have someone making me feel guilty or fearful, that if I don't, you know, we kind of need the fear. We think we need the fear. We don't, but we think we need the fear that, you know, God's going to whack me if I don't do right or something like that, or he's not going to bless me if I don't tithe or whatever, that we're just going to, you know, go crazy and we're going to, you know, it'll just be Sin City all around us all the time.
And we're more comfortable with that.
Yeah. And I think it's, I guess, two things. We underestimate the power of God and we overestimate our own ability.
Oh,
that's where one thing.
I mean, that's the understatement of the century.
True.
We do. Absolutely. We underestimate the power of God in our own lives. We underestimate what Jesus accomplished on that cross. We diminish that and then we embellish our own ability to whatever, follow Christ, be a disciple.
You know, one thing occurred to me just while we've been talking here in terms of the scrupulosity and those who, you know, seriously deal with this and struggle with this.
Yeah.
I think there's an element of good news in that if I am acknowledging, if I recognize that I struggle with that, then you're one step closer than a lot of people.
Yeah.
The problem is a lot of people are in that camp and don't know it.
Right.
And think everything is just fine and still trusting in. So I think that's part of the process where we come to that point where we're frustrated and we can't do it. Well, that's progress because the more we feel like that, the closer we are to just, in a sense, giving up. And that's why the cross is so important. The cross illustrates what we have to bring to this. The cross illustrates that we have nothing. Our old self is crucified with him.
Maybe we need to start a ministry called Scrupulosity Anonymous. You know, hi, my name is Roger and I'm a scrupulosity addict.
I'll let you start that. I'll see who they are. Okay, this relates. I got a question. I had a question sent to me. Now, this is not from anyone in that group or anything like that, but it kind of illustrates it. So this is an actual question sent to me by a regular listener of our podcast. So it's presented to me, but I'll present it to
you. I just like the sound of that. Regular listener. Okay. That's nice to know. We have regular listeners.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, both of them are really
both of
really
them, both of our regular listeners. Okay, go ahead.
And this is not Mom, by the way. Mom did not send this. Okay. So this is somebody else. So. Okay, question for you, Pastor Fields. If I tithe regularly, then God's going to bless me financially. Now, you got to follow this now, okay? Okay.
So think, I love where this is going already. Right. Okay.
So you got to think through this here. If I tithe regularly, then God's going to bless me financially. But if I sin and lose fellowship, he doesn't hear my prayers. Does that offset the tithing I've done? Do they cancel each other out? What if I confess? What if I confess and ask forgiveness within an hour of committing the sin? What if I forget and it's a day later or even a week later? How will that affect my tithe blessing? So you see the problem here. You know, you tithe.
Is, this guy's so going to hell broke. That's what it means. He's not gonna make it. He's not gonna get it. Okay. All right. I was just kidding.
Well,
when I said that. I have to say that for podcasters. Well, or maybe new listeners.
No. Well, you'll be glad to know this was sent to me in jest.
Yes, I know.
It was sent to me. But I mean, it kind of illustrates what probably some people would be thinking. So if someone's, you know, they're tithing, and so they're expecting God to bless them financially, but then if they sin and forget to confess the sin, or just don't confess the sin, and God doesn't hear them, you know, does the failing to confess the sin, does that offset the, you know, they're going to lose their tithe blessing? And that's how messed up this gets go down that road.
This kind of reminds me of the story I heard years ago, where a guy was, he just didn't believe God listened, heard his prayer, and he had no relationship, and you know, a Christian friend was trying to encourage him that, yes, God loves you, he is listening to you, you do have a relationship. He said, then why don't you just cuss out God then? Just cuss him out. He goes, no, you can never do that. He said, well, why not? Well, because he'll hear me. Oh, so he'll hear you if you cuss him out, but he won't hear you if you talk to him in prayer as his child. That he won't hear that. But that's most people would have to admit that they would kind of identify with that. That we're sure he'll hear us if we say something bad about him that's inaccurate or wrong or blasphemous. But
so if you want to say blasphemous, then you need to commit, have some iniquity in your heart first, so that God won't hear you.
Yeah.
We need, but yeah, that's
that's a whole other angle.
It really gets twisted at that point.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the kind of stuff we go through, you know? It's just.
Okay, well, along those lines, and I think we'll kind of start heading toward home on this podcast with this one. I actually came up with this a couple of weeks ago. The hymn Blessed Assurance. I've rewritten the words to Blessed Assurance.
I thought it was pretty good already.
It is. It's a great song. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I like that song. I like the words.
So you're messing with a good hymn.
Well, I've come up with a different set of words for those who are believing in a mixed gospel.
Okay.
For those who do not see grace, and for those who are still trying to live on both sides of the cross, and it ends up frustrating and all this, this is the hymn they need to be singing if they were honest. I mean, we are so inauthentic at times. We sing hymns and songs and things that if we, you know, when we're trying to live under both law and grace, we are not experiencing those. We don't believe that, but we sing that anyway. So this is, instead of Blessed Assurance, this hymn is titled Cursed Frustration. And so I really don't want to sing on this podcast, but it's to the tune
of... Thank you, Jeff. I speak for all of our listeners when I say thank you. We do appreciate that.
So in your own mind, imagine the tune of Blessed Assurance, which the music was by Phoebe Palmer Knapp. And so these words are by Jeff Fields with apology to Fannie J. Crosby. We love her words, and we believe in that hymn
has
written...
So who wrote this? Fannie Crosby write this?
Yeah, she wrote the words.
Who's this Phoebe then?
She wrote the music.
Oh, the music. Tune. Oh, okay. All right.
So this is from the Mixed Gospel Hymnal at the First Church of Try a Little Harder, Do a Little More on Dead End Street and Never Enoughville. So you sing this song to the tune of Blessed Assurance. Wait a
minute. I want to hear the name of the church one more time, okay?
Well, the hymnal is called the Mixed Gospel Hymnal at the First Church of Try a Little Harder, Do a Little More on Dead End Street in Never Enoughville.
Boy, it sounds like what a depressing place. So, holy moly. All right.
And so, okay, and I've got three verses and the chorus rewritten to this whole thing here. So instead of, you know, the regular hymn is, you know, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Okay, this is, okay, there you go. Right. Maybe I can say this while you hum that.
Yeah,
in the
I don't know. I guess the end of my musical contribution here.
So, cursed frustration, Jesus once more. Oh, what confusion, I'm trying to keep score. Work for salvation to appease God based on my effort avoiding the rod. It's the rod of I get it. Okay. The chorus.
This, I love it when you have to explain the most basic thing. Thank you for letting all the listeners realize that you think I'm a total idiot. Okay.
Okay. So the chorus, this is my striving hope. So instead of blessed assurance, you know, or this is my story, this is my song. This is my striving hope I'm not wrong, fearing my Savior all the day long. This is my striving hope I'm not wrong, fearing my Savior all the day long. Second verse, perfect frustration, perfect defeat. Visions of failure I seem to repeat. Rules keep descending for me to do. If I'm committed, might make it through. Then I'll skip to the third verse.
Did you write this?
Yes, I did. I wrote these words.
I am impressed.
Then the third verse.
And we thought you had no creativity. I mean.
Third verse.
I like this.
Third verse. Total frustration, never at rest. I and my methods am iffy at best. Well, that's my favorite line. Working and sweating, looking below, trusting my dead works, why can't I grow? This is my striving, hope I'm not wrong, fearing my Savior all the day long. This is my striving, hope I'm not wrong, fearing my Savior all the day long.
That is and good. So, I like it. We may have to have somebody record this.
I did think, I don't think I have the nerve to do it, but if you and I sang this
on video and put it on Facebook, it could go. It would kill the podcast.
But I did think about it, at least as a post, I could post this myself, and I want to put this on there, but if you could put this in a frame and put our Fields Brothers logo on it or something.
Make it look like the words, I can take care of that.
Okay, I'll send you these words, and then you can do that. But anyway, blessed assurance versus cursed frustration. So when we don't see the finished work of Christ, when we're looking at ourselves and think that we have to add to this, it's really not blessed assurance, it's cursed frustration. But the good news is we don't have to live that way. Christ did pay the price, and that is an incredible blessing.
And this song may be a hit, Jeff. I don't know. I mean, I think we may have to do something with this. We know some musical people. Maybe we can get somebody to sing this or play it for us or record
it. May have potential.
Yeah, who knows? You may be hearing this on K-Love here someday. Okay.